In the Western world, we greatly prize our freedoms. Our Constitution is built around the concept of freedom. Mr. Hopper covered that very well a couple of weeks ago about all the Bill of Rights and all those things that we hold so dear in our culture. Many have fought and died to maintain those freedoms, and every thought threat to freedom is rigorously resisted, and periodically the battle of ideas about what these freedoms mean takes place in the media, in the newspapers. The Scriptures talk about liberty we have in Christ, which is the freedom from the penalty of sin through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Again, Mr. Hopper's sermon covered that very well, very thoroughly. But we also read terms like slave and servant, which can be difficult to fully understand in our current culture. Slavery has been abolished. Most of the great men of the Bible are described as servants. In Romans 1:1, Paul said he was a servant of Jesus Christ. Various versions of the Bible also describe Paul as a bond servant or a slave. In this verse and many others, servant or slave is translated from the word doulos, D-O-U-L-O-U-S, which means a slave or bondservant. The outline of biblical usage on the Blue Letter Bible website states that doulos, which is 1410 in Strong's Concordance, means a slave, bondman, man of servile condition, or a slave, or metaphorically, one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing His cause among men. Third, is devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. Another definition is a servant or an attendant. Deuteronomy 15, in the Torah, in the Old Covenant, we see that it illustrates the difference between someone who served temporarily as a servant and someone who became a permanent bondservant. Let's turn there to Deuteronomy 15. Verse 12, read down through 15 initially. Deuteronomy 15, verse 12. This is in regard to a Hebrew who became a slave. It says, if your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your stock, from your threshing floor, and from your winepress. From what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. And then you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. So here we see it was a temporary arrangement. Someone was sold into slavery. And there was release and then a substantial amount of support after the 7 years of service. But then on down in verse 16, it talks about someone who says, I don't really want to be released. I want to stay with you. Let's look at that in verse 16, 17. And if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also to your female servant you shall do likewise. So a servant who voluntarily agrees to become a permanent servant has an awl driven through their ear into the doorpost of that house. This act demonstrated that this servant was permanently fixed to this house and this master. It became traditional, according to some references I read, to put in a gold earring after the awl was removed. So it was kind of a harsh way to do an ear piercing, it sounds like, for an earring. This slave could never go free again. He became a bond servant. As such, he was trusted with more of the master's affairs than a normal slave would be. Although still servants, they often were considered a part of the family. This is how Paul and many of the other apostles referred to themselves as bondservants of Jesus Christ. So what does it mean for us to be a bondservant or slave of Jesus Christ? That's going to be the focus of this message. My title is What It Means to Be a Bondservant. You know, Christ taught about service. And he gave an illustration to his disciples in Matthew 20. Turn there, Matthew 20. Verse 25, read through 28, 20, verse 25. This was after the mother of a couple of disciples asked for a special position for them, and he explained that that wasn't what their purpose was. Verse 25, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers and the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ continually demonstrated service while he was here on earth. He responded to this carnal desire of two of his disciples to have special positions, showing that wasn't to be their objective. They must learn first how to be a slave. In verse 26, words translated servant, that comes from the Greek word diakonos, which is also translated minister or deacon in other scriptures. But then in verse 27, he used doulos, bondservant. For those who desire to be first among you, let them be your bondservant. And just as back in Deuteronomy 15, diakonos does not carry the same sense of permanence that doulos does. Christ was teaching that to be a part of the kingdom of God, we can't just humble ourselves and be servants now and then, but we must be permanent slaves. The servants were promised greatness. The slaves are promised they will be first in the kingdom. What are some characteristics of a bondservant? I want to look at a few of those. First of all, a bondservant is bound to Jesus Christ. We voluntarily contracted to be a permanent slave of Jesus Christ when we were baptized. We no longer belong to ourselves. Romans 6, 16 to 22, I believe Mr. Mann covered this very thoroughly also back a couple of weeks ago in his message. We'll go through it again. Romans 6, verse 16 down through 22. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. So, you see, this shows a sharp contrast between being a slave to sin and slave to righteousness, or to Jesus Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, 20, 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, that is in you that you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So again here, we are not our own. We are bought with a price, just as the slave was. Second aspect of being a bondservant is it must be motivated by love. Christ gave a lot of instruction to his disciples right there near the end of his time here on earth. Look at John 15, verse 12. It says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So that has to be the core of all service. You know, service is based on love. It will never feel like a burden or a chore. And Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, verse 16. Ephesians 4. Breaking into a thought here. Ephesians 4, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. So again, service must be surrounded by love, by this outgoing concern for others in the church and even outside of the church. Thirdly, a bondservant must never forget that he is still a servant to Christ and to others. If that service doesn't earn us some special favor, serving Christ and others is what we are commanded to do. Christ gave a parable in Luke 17, verse 7. Luke 17. Verse 7 through 10. "And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But he will not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink.' Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" This guy worked hard all day in the field, and he had come in and fixed dinner. This is his duty. This is his command. Don't sound fair, does it? But Christ said that was just his duty. This bondservant was expected to be perfectly obedient to his master and not expect he was going to get some exalted position. And in Matthew 25, a very familiar parable, how we serve Christ when we serve others. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. 25, verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared to you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, or give you drink? When did we see you stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.'" So, and then he goes on in the rest of that chapter to talk about those on the left side, the goats that did not serve others, did not care for those who needed help. And so we see here that You know, this is some of the things that we will be judged on in the end. Fourth, a bondservant is expected to be responsible with what he or she is given. One over to in Matthew 25, back to verse 14. There's a lot of parables right in here in Matthew 25. He talks about the parable of the talents. 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. He said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside me. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours. You know, he knew he was going to be under a lot of scrutiny, so he thought, I'll just do nothing. And that's what our human nature wants to do. We don't really want to push ourselves to do something, to increase in our ability to serve. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the servant in this account is translated from that doulos. Here we see the master entrusted a lot to his bondservants that they were expected to use wisely to find ways to increase what they were entrusted with. He placed a great responsibility on these bondservants. He put a lot of trust in them. A bondservant cannot be selfish. Let's look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Verse 5, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know, Christ really set us a high bar on how to be a bondservant. He gave up the power of the Godhead, became a physical man who endured unimaginable persecution, the worst type of death that any man has ever suffered in order to fulfill his purpose. And there's no exceptions. All of God's people must be bondservants, no matter our position in life. You see that over in Paul's writing in Ephesians 6. Verses 5 through 8. Bondservants Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. This attitude must always be, what can I do for you, rather than what can you do for me? We must yield our wills to God's direction every day, or we drift back towards just concern for ourselves. Another sign of a bond servant is someone who willingly does behind the scenes work, the person who can be relied upon. You know, marriages work best when both partners have the attitude of a bond servant, looking for how they can serve their spouse. Church congregations work better if everybody is looking for how each can serve herself. And you know, this is not a correctional message at all. I see a lot of servants in this congregation. Tremendous attitude of service. And I just applaud you for that willingness to help one another. Let's look at, illustrate that through Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Because the Pharisees were such a bad example of wanting notice for what they did. Matthew 6. Verses 1-4. Matthew 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you go, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So, the bondservant cannot be selfish, must be always doing it for the right reasons. The last point I had was a bondservant continues to serve even when it's not appreciated. And that's the toughest type of service there is, when it's not appreciated. You know, Paul, amazing man, faithfully served, but suffered greatly. In 2 Corinthians, he talked about what he went through to be a servant. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's got to be the main thing. We are directed by God's Spirit in what we do. But he says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So, Paul says he was hard-pressed. He was perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Then on over in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 28, he gives some specific illustrations of what he went through. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. So he continued to serve through all of that. He was truly, truly a bondservant of Christ. Came across a poem a number of years ago. Some attribute it to Mother Teresa. And then others have, so I'm not sure who wrote it. It's called Anyway. Says, people are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. What you spent years building, someone may try to destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It has never been between you and them. Anyway, that really puts it in a nutshell of what the bondservant of Christ, their attitude. Conclusion, we've committed to be a lowly bondservant when we were baptized. We can never back out of that commitment for the rest of our lives. A bondservant serves others out of love for others and not just out of duty. He enjoys serving others even when it's difficult. A bondservant is fully trustworthy and reliable and never thinks too highly of himself. May we all grow in becoming better bondservants of Jesus Christ. This type of unselfish, giving attitude only comes through God's Spirit. We've got to draw close daily to God through study and prayer, and meditating on what do these scriptures really mean in our daily lives? How do we apply them? So that we can improve our desire to remain faithful servants for the rest of our lives.